Hi, this is Bob from Hackberry House. Today, God give us fathers. Jesus referred to the fifth commandment, honor your father and mother, while at the same time telling us to call no man our father on earth. So both in the church and ultimately in the family too, it's God who is our father. He's the source, and the men that he supplies to nourish and lead us that we call fathers are merely extensions of his fatherhood. This theme is carried out by Paul and John as the New Testament continues. Paul speaks of many Old Testament saints as our fathers, even calling Abraham the father of us all. Abraham's name in Hebrew has the word father embedded in it. But Paul also refers to Moses' commandment to honor fathers, while forever referring to God as his father. He says that God sends his very spirit into our hearts and has us crying out, Father, in that spirit. So he's not denying it in any way that God is our father, but that these people that we see as our fathers here are really sent by God, and God is our real father. Though neither Paul or any New Testament writer is referred to as father by title, Paul makes it clear that functioning as a father is the norm for advanced Christian leadership. 1 Thessalonians 2:11, Paul dealt with the church of Thessalonica as a father deals with his children. Elders were to be treated as fathers, 1 Timothy 5:1. 1 Corinthians 4:15 says that not many in the church are truly fathers, but some are. This is not an ordained class wearing clerical garb and special titles, father so-and-so. These are men advanced in the faith. John wrote to them in his epistles, as well as to the young men in the faith and little children in the faith. These three classes were obviously not the steps of some hierarchy on the way to great power, but descriptions of progress in the life of holiness. As the fathers of the church are the most holy, it's their job to bring others along the pathway which they've come. Every true pastor should be a father, but alas, not too many are. Many pastors are administrators, good ones, speakers, and good ones, aggressive promoters of the faith. Thank God for them. But how many of them are fathers? Paul said, not many in his day. Things do not seem to have changed. Frightfully young men are set over congregations today. And they may have a speaking gift, and it's assumed from that they know how to speak to individual hearts and nurture them along. Often this is not true. Men fresh out of Bible college are placed over elderships in local churches simply because of their charisma, their good grades, or whatever. Charisma does not create character or the ability to father. The only thing that does that is many years walking hand in hand with Jesus. Not just many years, by the way. Old does not mean gold. But a man who's walked long and consistently with Jesus will know how to father others. He'll be such a holy man that the temptation will be there to call him father. But at that point, we've stepped over the line. We call no man father. But we recognize who the fathers are. They look like Jesus. We're looking for Jesus. They've been with Jesus for so long that they look like him and act like him, and they are extending the fatherhood of God into us. It's entertaining to meet a Mormon on the street and have him introduce himself to you as Elder so-and-so. 25 years old. Young enough to be my grandson. Now, I can learn from anyone, but do I entrust my spiritual life to a man who's not had a chance to live that life yet? Not that Mormonism is attractive on any front, just saying. More to the point is the honor that we, say evangelicals in the West, have given to the youth culture among us today. Why are we turning over leadership more and more to the young? Because they wrote a song, or can lead a song, play an instrument? Because they look nice, they're aggressive for Christ? Well, that's all good, but where are the fathers? The true fathers? The elders? Have they fallen away? Did they get lazy? Did they assume it was time for them to sit down and let the young people take over? Well, in many cases, it wasn't time. And you'll see that in your church later if you don't go back and take your place. What will these mature men be doing now that they've retired from the leadership of the church? Don't they bear some of the responsibility for the fact that the church is looking more and more like the culture in which it finds itself instead of leading that culture? Where are the fathers, the real fathers? Where's the serious earnestness about bringing souls to Christ? Where are the level-headed decisions in board meetings? Where's the fatherly counsel that only a true father can impart? Where's the wisdom in that church? Perhaps it's in every generation, not just my own, that the young tell the old to get out of the way, and the old do so. That times are changing and we need fresh blood. Revolution. 20 years later, many of them need to apologize as the church takes a downward swing. All of their energy wasn't what the church was crying out for after all. So many bad attitudes prevail toward these seniors who taught them the faith to begin with, these young people. Wrong assumptions are made, and in some cases, wrong doctrines creep in. And the congregation has a feeling that somehow it's become a successful business. The church may even grow. You might get rid of that old carpet and so on, but it's not a loving family anymore. Why? Father's missing. Father's authority. Father's loving care. No sense of submission is left in these situations. No accountability. People are free to do as they are led, which means they do what is right in their own eyes, as the people of the times of the judges of Israel. The church cannot be the church without the fathers. Bring them back, not as advisors, but as leaders. Let the young stay in training where they belong. Their day will come. Believe me, it will. And they may not want it when it does, because they'll come in full awareness of what it's all about. But let them for now assist. Let them learn. Let them work. Let them get dirty. But give us the fathers back to lead us. We're an orphan planet. Fatherhood, whether human or divine, is so sorely lacking. You got missing dads and alcoholic dads and perverted dads and unfaithful dads and busy dads. When Jesus shows up, he turns the hearts of all these fathers toward their children. And when Jesus is manifested fully in your church, sir, the fathers will be leading it. They're the ones who have known him who is from the beginning, said the Apostle John. They know how to lead people to the real Father and to be Father, God, to them. Well, the women, the youth, well, you know, they're not ever going to be able to fill the need of a church for wise and loving fathering. Thank God for mothers in the church. But don't let the mothers turn into fathers. Let the fathers do that. An older male voice speaking into the hurts of that church. A life that's ordained and given by God himself to be God himself in the life of the church. That's what they crave. Why not give it to them? And when the world sees a church like that, it realizes where they are lacking, where it is lacking, though the world is lacking. As it is now, things in the church are looking more and more like the world. Fatherless, pained, hobbling along in weakness. God, manifest yourself as Father to your people. Amen. Talk to you later, folks.